Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Fantasy Sports Today.
Here it is. It's the start of FST, the Saturday edition. And I feel like it's around the corner. Now it's really around the corner. We tease it for the last few weeks, and we say it's coming. Kickoff's coming. But you know what? It's kind of dress rehearsal week. I got drafts all weekend. I know many of you out there have drafts all weekend, so I'm really excited about today's show because we get to talk about a little bit of at least modified real football. Some of it has been not so real, but now we're getting it going. There's a lot of action last night, a lot more today. We're going to really review last night's action all throughout, talk about different players and their ADPs. It's sort of the only way to do it. We're going to go rapid fire, as rapid as we can, talk about every player that played last night that has any relevancy and maybe some that didn't that should have relevancy. So first of all, I want to welcome in my compadre, my ace, George Kurtz. George, how are you?
Good morning, Mr. Blewett. Two weekends in a row I'm with you again. It feels like old times.
Yeah, and I think it's this might be our only shot here for a little while. So excited to be on with you. To give anybody that is new to us some background, and first of all, thank you for listening. If you've come in on the Fantasy Sports Radio app or iHeartRadio or TuneIn Radio or a variety of terrestrial radio stations across the country, thanks. Thanks for picking us to talk about fantasy football and football in general today. It's going to be 3 hours of it. We're going to have Dan Strafford on here at 10 o'clock. Dan's going to be doing the Saturdays moving forward, but George and I are going to have this one show to do together. But when the Fantasy Sports Radio Network launched just under 2 years ago, I guess our first show was probably mid to late October of 2016. Does that sound right, George?
I might have said November, but sounds about right.
Yeah, I think it was like mid to late October of 2016. So George and I had the Saturday morning show. That was our slot. It was 8 to 10, then it was 7 to 9. But by and large, it was right in that wheelhouse. We used to be on Sirius XM. Our company moved over, started our own startup, our own effort, and it's growing by the year. But certainly, George and I logged a lot of shows, and it was the longest running show for a very long time. It ended earlier this year when we had to switch things up. George did different shows. I sort of stayed on Saturday mornings, but nonetheless, it was the longest running show for a long time. So we're happy to do a little reunion here for you, which we did also on Sunday. So, George, lots of action last night. I got a draft that starts at 11, so I have the pleasure of doing a show and drafting at the same time. That's always fun. I have another draft tomorrow at noon. I assume you have something coming up as well. I know you did a couple last weekend, I believe.
Actually, I think as of right now, I'm done. Other than some, I'm talking about regular leagues, redraft leagues, best balls, sure, MFLs, yeah. But as far as regular drafts, I think I am done. I've got
really?
My five leagues. I've tried very hard to cut down.
Yes.
I think I'm a better player if I cut down. I mean, I'm still playing in five regular leagues, and Lord knows how many best ball and stuff like that. Those I don't count those the same because you draft and you leave them. You don't have to worry about it. But
yeah,
as far as leagues I have to worry about, make moves, trades, and waiver wires, I'm only in five. And the idea is this. If you play in 10, 20 like we used to do, or Jim Day, who's absolutely crazy, playing in over like 60, 100 leagues, I don't know how you handle Fab. You know, Wednesday nights, Tuesday nights, Tuesday afternoon, Thursday. I mean, they all run differently. I'm just not as good a player because I'm missing Fabs. I'm forgetting to set lineups. God forbid there should be a late inactive on a Sunday morning.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, where we're working as it is, I can't change. I'm just not as good a player. I don't think it's fair to me. I don't think it's fair to the leagues I play in. If I'm, every now and then, I have a dead slot in there because I wasn't able to get to it in time.
I agree.
So Yeah, so I decided to cut down on that.
Yeah,
so last weekend was my last pick.
Got it.
Was my last draft, as far as I know.
Got it. How do you feel they turned out?
I think they turned out well. I mean, both leagues are home leagues. They're keeper leagues. I had extra draft picks from trading out last season, so I should do well. As always, I'm a big believer, Mike, you know, when it comes to drafts. That's why when people always send in, oh, grade my draft, look at my draft. Unless you screw it up, your draft is just a starting point. Yeah, I do believe it won't win it for you. It could lose it for you if you screw it up, but it won't win it for you. It's a starting point. It's all about now staying healthy and making the right moves during the year.
You know, I always do find it funny when we do get those questions, though, where it's like, yeah, my receivers are going to be Robert Woods and Quincy Enunwa and
you screwed up.
Yeah, like DJ Moore. Like, what do you think? Like, I think you were asleep at the wheel.
You made a mistake there, buddy.
Yeah.
That's the way it works. A draft, like I said, unless you really screw it up, it's a starting point. Yeah. Yes, every now and then you do ace a draft. I mean, you do everything just falls your way and you aced it. But it's staying healthy. Mike, and we play 12-team leagues. Like most of these leagues I believe in, 12 teams, three will be eliminated because, listen, you got hurt. You lost six players, nothing you can do about it, you're eliminated. Another three will get eliminated because they don't pay attention. You know, they don't make the moves they have to make. So in my mind, as long as I avoid the injuries, I'm one of those six now battling for whatever, the prize money. First place, second place, whatever wins the money. That's the way I always look at it. So I just got to beat half the field, not the entire field. And I said I have to be the one to avoid those injuries.
Yeah. So a couple things on what you said. I think they're all important comments. First one is about cutting down leagues. And So when I first got on SiriusXM and we were doing more shows, I felt the pressure to do more leagues, get involved with more listeners, get involved with more experts. And what it resulted in was a year in which I had 11 or 12 leagues, and it was ridiculous. And I know there's people out there who be like, well, we know a guy named Drew Loftus from the New York Post. He's nicknamed the Fantasy Madman. He I think last year he did about 80 leagues, but he would even tell you, he concedes, that many of these are public ESPN leagues. He's competing in them, and they're not highly competitive, some of them, but nonetheless, he's doing a very high volume of leagues. There'd be no way to do the intensity of some of the leagues that you and I are in and win. And I do think we have a responsibility. Here's something I give, and I'm not going to call anybody out by name, because it's something I get very irritated with other fantasy football analysts. They join a draft, and it's either a free draft for a network, or it's a low-stakes home league or whatever. And they get in there, and things start to go south, and they're like, you know what, I just can't really pay attention to that one. And look, obviously at some point, if you got chips on the table or in a high-stakes league, you're going to divert more attention towards that league. But I do not like when experts join a league, don't really pay attention and be like, that was a free league anyway. What do I care? I think I have an obligation personally to compete in every league. And if you're sitting at home and you're a buddy of my wife's high school friend, which I'm in a league with a whole bunch of her high school friends. I'm friends with those guys now as well. But if I'm in that league and it doesn't go well, it's on me. And I'm not going to sit there and say, well, I do two radio shows on the weekends and I got other leagues that are, there's more money involved and I didn't have time. So I didn't pay attention. And that's why I missed the playoffs. Tough. If I join it, I'm in. You can talk all the trash you want if I miss or if you beat me.
Oh, I agree. If I put my name in there, I'm trying. It's rare that I'm giving up on a league, but that's why I've cut down. Because I didn't think it was fair to that league. If there was a league, if I kept missing on Sunday morning to change my lineups, you know, it's not so much the 11:30 in that, because you listen to the pregame shows and those, you're at 12:30. Oh, no, didn't make warms. He's not going to play now. Or he's going to be a decoy. And then you still have enough time to go through 60 leagues to go change this guy. I don't know how some of these guys, I don't know how somebody doesn't keep track of knowing what guys on what team. Must have one hell of a spreadsheet. So that's just my thinking there. I just think I'm a better player in a smaller amount of redraft leagues.
Yeah, so I've cut down. I'll probably be at six this year. I found that's about the sweet spot. If it was down to five, I wouldn't complain. If it was up to seven, I'd get a little itchy about it. But I think that's really the sweet spot. And I think I'll be in six. If anybody asks me at this point to join any more, I'll probably politely decline. So
And the other thing on that, I think you're right. With late inactives, that's a challenge, and waivers is a challenge. But what I find is that if I'm going to compete in a league, I really want to have the time to go through the rosters if I need some help to try to work a trade and to see what makes sense. And that is what I absolutely don't have time for when I join too many leagues. I've found, like, I, you know, normally when you're working a trade, like, you're looking at everybody's roster. You're looking down who needs an RB. I need a wide receiver. Who can I match up with? It takes time to do that and really figure out an offer. And if you're in 11 leagues like I was that one year, it went away. I just couldn't do it anymore. It was the thing I lost time on. And so all that being said, that's sort of my approach. I think George has a similar approach. We do about 6 leagues, and that's it. And for those of you that want to manage 10, that's great. I'm going to be on air from like 8 to 1 on Sunday mornings during the season, or somewhere thereabouts. I'm going to struggle with some of those late inactives. I just am, unless I tap out for a segment and go do it. So we shall see how that works out. But I got a league draft today, which starts at 11, Greenwich Street Tavern League, which you may have heard talked about on this network. And then tomorrow we got sort of an in-house high-stakes draft starting tomorrow, which I'll be in studio for, and we'll have fun with it. So on to the game action. Last night, the first game I wanted to talk about was, and we could really start anywhere because there was some good action last night and some legitimate notes that came out of it. But the first one I wanted to talk about was Seahawks-Vikings. And a player that, I got to be honest, I have this guy in a dynasty league, in the dynasty league that you and I compete in, and I had no expectations a couple of months ago after Rashard Penny was drafted. But now, with Penny with a broken finger and putting on 16 pounds and all the worry that's going around that, my man Chris Carson came through. 44 total yards last night and a score, 7 carries for 26. And then he caught 2 passes for 20. And now this guy is shooting up draft boards, and his ADP rise is almost inconceivable from where we were even a month ago.
Indeed. Indeed it is. I'll throw some cold water here. Now, okay. If I'm drafting today, I do want Carson. All right, I want Carson over Penny, but that's going to change eventually. There's a lot of running back situations where, you know, you think Peyton Barber and Tampa Bay is going to be the same thing. Yes, yeah, I want these guys
later,
now.
Sure.
Right, but eventually, you know, there's a reason these guys weren't considered stars from the beginning. You know, they don't have that kind of talent. They're hot now. The rookies aren't doing well, which is not shocking. Rookies tend not to do well. Penny, maybe it's more of the injury than anything else. The weight he put on is curious, as this was not a small man to begin with. So I don't think the team wanted him to put on weight. So that's very concerning. But I got to think at some point, you know, they're going to end up going with the rookie. And that's why he drafted. These weren't 6th-round picks here. You know, Penny and for Seattle's 1st-round pick. I think Ronald Jones was a 2nd-round pick offhand.
Yes, sir. Yes.
So, you know, there's a reason they took him. They're going to get all the chances in the world. You know, coaches tend to die with their rookies. You know, with the guys they selected, or the GMs they selected, they want to go down with the ship. They're not going to give up on these guys. So that's you're sort of saying, hey, screwed up, effed up. You know, and that's a major thing here. So they'll go down with the ship with these guys. That being said, for the whole month of September, I'd probably rather have Carson. amazing what's on the mind here. Chris Carson and Barber, and then you'll reevaluate after that. I did take in one of those home leagues. I got Rashard Penny late. And it's also a keeper league, so I was looking for the future as well. Once again, I had extra draft picks. I could afford to do this.
How late?
So I guess around round 10, round 12.
Wow.
Offhand.
That's really good. That's really good.
Keep in mind, it's a 2-quarterback league, a super flex league, so it does lessen the value a little bit. But I was very happy to get him. Once again, it was the right timing because all this came out. That's why you can get super values because all these guys are going to – their values are down because no one – oh, they're not even starting right now. This is not an expert league. You know, it's a home league. So guys are down on these guys because they don't think they're going to play. I do think they'll play, but it's the long game. I'm playing the long game. I'm assuming in these leagues that it's more second half – where they come into value here. I just don't believe these teams will forget about these guys. If you were to ask me, Mike, which one I'm worried about more, it's probably Ronald Jones. Because we've heard some of these beat writers say this guy wasn't a top pick. He may not even make the team. But then again, he had the big catch last night. So maybe that quelches some of these negative rumors.
Yeah, so we'll I got a silly question, and then I'll make a point. Which Carson would you rather have? Chris Carson as the 97th overall pick and the RB38, or Carson Wentz as the 64th pick overall and a QB7? I think I know your answer.
Yeah, I think you do, too. I'd rather have Chris Carson. I can wait on a quarterback and still get a good one. Plus, I don't have to worry about whether or not Carson Wentz starts week one, week two, and Nick Foles sucks now. So if you did what I would have done, if I would have drafted Carson Wentz, I would have taken Nick Foles, you know, last pick, just so I could have backed him up. And now that's not working out. So now if you drafted early, even though I still think Carson Wentz might start, I probably now have to make a waiver wire move, assuming you can. And some things you can't until after week one. But assuming you can, I now have to make a waiver wire move to get another quarterback.
Yeah, we'll talk a little bit about that later as well as we turn the page. We'll talk more about Hawks Vikings after the break. We'll talk, obviously, all the games that happened last night. I think it's a good way, frankly, when there's more games going on in the preseason, we could just bounce around the box scores, talk about different players. But you made a good point earlier that I wanted to come back to, and I'll close out the segment with this. You're in there, you're in your regular 12-team home league, 16 players per roster, even if it's a little larger. Here's what you have to remember. Feel as good as you want about the draft and like, I don't know about Chris Carson, he might not last the whole season. You're going to cut about six guys off of that. I'll guarantee you that right now. So don't worry about that. Take your flyers late. Take Chris Carson in the eighth round or wherever the heck he's going. And just use them for a month and then move on. And then maybe you got Penny after that, or maybe you got somebody else that's going to take over a job like Ronald Jones. So come back. We'll talk more about Hawks Vikings after the break. It's Mike and George on FST. Back after this.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
Back on FST. I got some reasons to do, but I don't know what they are yet, so I'll have to pause at some point during this segment and find which ones are the right ones. But in any event, if you want to hit us up on Twitter today, please do it, FNTSY Radio. I'm at Mike Blewett. George is at George Kurtz. And if you wanted to give us a call, please do. I know we got our loyal listener, Steve G, is already reaching out to us about Jim Cardio on the Roto Experts. He can give us a call today if he wants. 844-843-6879. Again, tune in Radio iHeartRadio, Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Appreciate you all listening. So, I got home a little late last night, so I sort of missed the beginning of Jets Giants. So I just kind of settled into the NFL Network as they did the bounce around, which was, you know, which is appropriate for what I needed. I'm not quite over my cold yet, but I'm getting close. So, all right, we talked Chris Carson.
You're not dead yet either.
No, not yet. Close, but not yet. Stephon Diggs got crushed on a hit by KJ Wright. I don't know if you saw this, but he got up, and there was no penalty. It was sort of amazing. The announcers were even like, huh, no flag. Didn't expect that. It looked legal to me. He went shoulder to chest, and it looked legal, but we've seen that hit so many times, it's been flagged, that it didn't get penalized. So maybe there's some light at the end of the tunnel as far as us sorting this out. Obviously, I think these flags, I don't want to get into a big, long thing, but I think these flags, they overcall this stuff when it's a new rule. They overcall it. That's not even really a word, but they throw too many flags in the preseason, just to kind of sort out what this is going to look like. I think it will dissipate some in the regular season, and they're just trying to figure out what this rule is all about. Obviously, they're a little confused. That's the major problem of it, but I don't expect to see that flag as many times during the regular season as we saw during the preseason those first couple of weeks.
I would agree. The problem is it's going to determine some games. Because it's still going to be flags at inappropriate times. They're going to be flags that they call that are perfectly legal hits. The bottom line is the game is too fast to take this out. You're crazy if you think these officials are going to see it. You know, these old men that are running up and down. Come on. And somebody says, I'm not even all that close to the play. You know, they're throwing from the sidelines when they're 20 yards away. And it's, in my mind, it's, I understand you want to make the game safer. And using the crown of your helmet absolutely should be penalized every time. But other than that, you know, somebody's hits to the head. You can't hit somebody with your shoulder without making some head contact. It's just, it's not going to happen. You know, and players who are getting hit, it's natural to dip your head too. You know, when you dip your head, it means now you might get your head hit. When the defender was targeting, what he was originally targeting wasn't your head, but because you dipped your head, now your head gets hit. But that doesn't seem to be taken into consideration. You know, like I said, the game is too fast to take all this out. You're going to have, I think you're going to have quite a few penalties that really shouldn't be penalties.
So on that player, Stephon Diggs, right now, PPR leagues, he's going 14th wide receiver behind guys like Doug Baldwin and Tyreek Hill, in front of guys like Amari Cooper and Larry Fitzgerald. His teammate Adam Thielen going at number 11, just a few spots in front of him. So what are your thoughts on Diggs this year? I love the guy as a player. I also love Adam Thielen. They had a pretty wide gap in catches last year, 91 to 64. There's been a lot of thought that that comes closer to the middle because Cousins has been looking at Diggs so much. He had actually 8 targets last night, and he caught 4 of those passes for 51 yards. So, you know, Stephon Diggs, for some people, if they went running back in their drafts, he could be their number one. Do you feel comfortable with that?
Well, if you went running back, yes. I mean, that was your choice. You knew you're going to have a weaker wide receiver. My problem with Diggs is really, all right, first you have to hope the chemistry is there with Kirk Cousins, which is probably a minor concern for me. Concern is, can he stay on the field? He's been banged up a lot. You know, so it was good to see him take that hard hit last night and get back up. First thing I thought of, like, oh, God, here we go again. But he got up, didn't seem to be a problem there. If he can stay on the field, play 16 games, the numbers are going to be there. I mean, there'll be big-time numbers. I think he'll be a top 10 receiver. He will be a wide receiver one. But I just don't know if he can do it. Or if he'll get weaker as the season goes on because he'll be playing through these injuries, that sort of thing. That's my only concern there.
Yeah. Last year he only played the 14 games. He is a guy that he's a very explosive player. I think he's an excellent player. I think the Vikings got a steal. But his ADP is getting to the point where you got to be a little concerned about that kind of stuff. When guys are nicked up a lot, and sometimes he's out there playing when he's not 100%, which is good for football, bad for fantasy owners, you start to get worried. I still have Thielen over him because I'm going to go with the guy, especially in PPR leagues, that has the ball in his hands more. You and I have talked about this before. I get the fact that at times my drafting strategy will take the upside off of the top of the receivers to some extent, but I'd like to line it up where I get 3 guys where I could reasonably predict that I'm looking at 260, 270 catches. You can do this math before your draft, during your draft, to see how many catches you can get. You can use whatever projections you'd like from last year, from this year. There's a lot of different ways you can go. I'm just saying that's generally the way I'm going to stack it up, and I'm not going to end up with a team of, you know, Diggs and Josh Gordon and pick another guy that people like, a Corey Davis. You know what I mean? Like those 3 guys together, if it all worked out, boom, home run. But it's risky. You got banged up guys and suspended guys, and that's a little bit risky. And that's conceivable, right? You could do a Diggs, Gordon, Corey Davis. That's a conceivable squad for somebody. It looks good, but I'd feel uncomfortable with it.
Yeah, you and I are of the same mindset there. Pretty much exactly what you said. I'm very much admitted, in most leagues, a conservative drafter. Now, that might change someone if I'm in a league with a whole bunch of top people. I'm like, oh, maybe I do got to take some chances. But for the most part, you know, I say this a lot in baseball drafts. I like to be able to look at the back of a baseball card and know exactly what the numbers are going to be. I can pencil those numbers in. Same thing with football. You mentioned you can count on 260, 270 catches. Well, that's 260, 270 points right there. Then you break down the yards, what you think you're going to get. And, you know, you're able to break it down from there. You know, and that's how I go about things. I don't take too many chances during my draft. Not unless I feel like I need to. There are times where the draft's not falling my way. It's not. Every pick I've made, I've gotten sniped. Mike Blewett's picking before me. He's taking the same guy I wanted every damn time. And maybe now as we go on, I do take some chances. I am taking some more upside guys. The problem with upside guys is they generally have a lower floor as well in case they bottom out. That's how I do things. Generally, I'd like to wait to a later round where if those upside guys don't pan out, not a big deal. They weren't going to start for me anyway. But there are some leagues I will change that. But for the most part, I assume with my draft that I'll draft well enough to be competitive. And then once again, during the season now is where I need to make hay, make the moves. Trading, I don't rely on trading anymore. Can't. I mean, no one trades. Everyone, I'll say this again, it happened in my home league. Everyone wants to win a trade. No one wants to make a fair trade.
Yep.
I mean, in my home league, I say it's a super flex league, two quarterbacks. I have Cam Newton. And I wanted to see if the guy who had Devin Funchess would trade him. And the first thing he says is, well, Devin Funchess is going to be a number one wide receiver for the team. I'm like, okay, what does that mean? You know, he's not a number one NFL wide receiver. Right. Who cares if he's number one for the team? You need a running back. I'm offering a running back. You don't have, you know, and I can just tell from the first word, I'm like, he's going to want way too much. And he did. He's like, yeah, okay. Sure. Yeah, I'll give you Todd Gurley for him. You know, it's like, it's just amazing. Deals are hard to make. They're really, really hard.
Yeah, you got to concede on both sides, and it very rarely happens. I got a trade offer in our Dynasty League because I'm very thin at running back. Right now I'm going into the season with a suspended Mark Ingram, Ronald Jones, who has been, you know, everybody's nonplussed in Tampa about his effort and his production so far, and Chris Carson, who's actually helped me some. But that's super thin. I recognize that. Chris Carson may be the only guy that's actually starting come week one. And somebody offered me a first-round pick next year, me to give that up, and they would give me Rob Kelly. I'm like, are you kidding? Like, Rob Kelly, at best, is going to be in a timeshare in Washington, which isn't that great of a running team. Like, I'm not giving up first-round picks for guys that I can't even count on to be on their own NFL team a year from now.
No. I mean, Rob Kelly, by the way, his value is plummeting every second
that's right. He's
on that team. And the other home league, I drafted Rob Kelly. I think it was my last pick before kickers and Ds. I drafted Rob Kelly before. It was, I think, the day before AP signed. And I'm like, oh, well, that's not going to work out well for me. I don't know when waivers runs there, but in all likelihood, and that's a 10-team league, not even a 12, that's a 10-team league. In all likelihood, I'll be getting rid of Rob Kelly. I don't think he has much of a role there at all. I think he knew it as soon as they signed AP so quickly. I mean, it was on the Monday. And if you watched NFL Live, and I did that day, Adam Schefter reported, and listen, we can all think what you want about Schefter. He knows what he's doing. He knows what he's talking about. When the show starts at 1:30, one of the first reports was, well, Washington doesn't want to sign him right now. They want to wait and see some other people. Yeah. An hour later, they signed him.
Yeah.
That pretty much told me all I needed to know. They liked what they saw. He looked good. He looked explosive in camp. Plus, he took a cheap contract. Took the veteran minimum. So I think all that told me all I needed to know about who was going to start at running back for Washington.
Yeah. So speaking of Adrian Peterson's former team, back to the Vikes for a second. You know, you try not to read too much into preseason stuff, but Cousins and Thielen just could not get on the same page last night. A, are you worried about that? And B, tell me what you think of Cousins in general. Right now, the eighth quarterback off the board. You and I both wait on quarterbacks, but, you know, Cousins starts to get to the point in some of these drafts where, all right, I've waited long enough. Do I pull the trigger now because it's the ninth round and Cousins is still around? Is he a guy that you feel comfortable with?
Well, I imagine most of the leagues I play in are some form of two quarterback leagues. It's my favorite type of league, so those are leagues I'd look to play in. There's a Scott Fishbowl, my two home leagues. I only had a chance to grab Cousins, to grab Cousins in one, and that was the other home league. And it came down to a choice. Wouldn't have been my first quarterback, he would have been my second quarterback. But it came down to a choice, Cousins or Stafford. You know, and now granted, this was after he didn't play very well, after Mike Zimmer trashed him. Really trashed the whole offense last weekend. But I started to think, you know, it just fit, once again, it fits my personality, my philosophy. Stafford safer.
Yeah, I'm doing it. I would do that too.
Yeah, I know what Stafford's going to do. So I took Stafford. You know, just because, once again, and I didn't feel I needed to take a chance in that league. You know, what Cousins could be a boom. He absolutely could. That team is dynamic. That defense is fantastic. And they just added George Iloker. I mean, my God, Cousins should be put in a lot of good situations. Either with turnovers or three and outs, where he's not going to have to worry about going 90 yards for a touchdown. But to your point, at this point you were trying to make, you said him and Thielen aren't really on the same page right now. Maybe September's a slow start.
That's exactly what I was going to say.
Right? So that's what I would worry about there. I think Cousins is fine long-term.
I think if you draft Cousins, you have to be patient. You can't just – you may have to supplement him with a second guy if you in the 16th round or be quick on the waiver wire if it doesn't work out week one. But that – so that's going to be your risk, in my opinion, with Cousins. It might take some time to work out. It should take time for it to work out. It would be amazing if they they plopped him in there. Obviously, that's very high expectations. But for him to be on the same page with Thielen and Diggs and Rudolph and an injured Dalvin Cook and Latavius Murray, it's a lot to ask. And I get that he got paid $84 million all up front, but – we have to be reasonable about it. There is some sort of runway for these guys to have success with the new cast of characters.
Yeah, there is. It could take time. You don't know. And everyone seems to be different among their own. You know, and not every play is the same. Not everyone's going to take a month. But quarterback to get to know the whole offense. Remember, Dalvin Cook has barely played. Now he's back. It wouldn't surprise me if it takes a couple of weeks to a month. And also, as I keep saying, the defense is great. Right? I mean, it is that good. They're not going to ask Kirk Cousins to throw the ball up and down the field. They won't need to. You know, they could play it slow until bring Cousins along here. It's almost like you need. I know this is going to sound silly, but they need Cousins to be up to a par by the time the playoffs start, because that's what this team's really playing for, or the second half of the season to get it going, go for that home or field advantage throughout the playoffs. That's what they're looking for.
Yeah, I think this is the type of team you made the point, the exact point. This is a team that. Look, it'd be nice if they're ripping off wins and they're a 14-2 team and dominant from start to finish. But honestly, they got a tough opponent in the Packers in their division. They're going to start out against San Fran, then at Green Bay, Buffalo, then at L.A., then at Philly. That's a really tough five games. And if Cousins isn't looking tip-top in that stretch, I think people are going to panic a little bit. But realistically, it's going to ease up for them. They get to play the Cardinals, and they go to the Jets, then the Saints and Lions, and then at Bears, host the Packers. You know, it's not an easy schedule, but it's going to ease up after those first five games where they probably would sign up for 3-2 right now when you're playing on the road in Green Bay, L.A., and Philly. That's a really tough stretch. I think they'll sign up for 3-2, and if you're a Vikes fan, you would sign up for that too. So keep in mind how tough Cousins' schedule is to start the year, in addition to him being in this new spot. But you brought up good situations, and I think this running game will obviously try to put him in good situations too. But we haven't seen Dalvin Cook. He got out there for a series last night. And we have seen Latavius Murray, and Latavius Murray has actually shown fairly well here in the preseason. And you and I have talked about ACL injuries in the past, how long it can take, and Dalvin Cook is eager. And it seems like he's been going at 100% in practice, but why not bring him along a little bit slower until he's past that 12-month mark? So what are your respective thoughts on Dalvin Cook and Latavius Murray? Start with Latavius Murray first, because he's the one I'm actually a little bit more interested in. We all know where Dalvin Cook is going in drafts. He's an RB1. But the Latavius Murray thing has me kind of scratching my head to see where you might put him.
Yeah, he's tough. He's certainly tough because you heard Zimmer say it last week again. Murray's going to have a role, at least in the early part of the season. So I guess what is your definition of early part of the season? I assume that's September. He might bring Cook along a little slowly. Once again, not feeling the need. It's the same thing with Kirk Cousins. You don't need these guys to be great from week one. It's more of you want to make sure they're up to par as the season rolls along here. So I get where Zimmer's coming from here. But what's Murray's role exactly? He didn't specify that. Is he going to... Yeah, is Cook going to sit a series, a quarter, a series, a half? Is Murray going to be the goal line guy so Cook doesn't take that kind of beating? What's the role here? I mean, Murray was a decent back. You know, they signed him to be the starting back, and then Cook they took in the draft. You know, it's one of those things where I've always wondered why the draft doesn't come first in free agency. This way you know what you need there. But once again, that's neither here nor there. So it's concerning somewhat. I'm still taking Cook in the second round. All right, so I'm not going to go away from Cook. I'll still take him in the second round. Murray's not really a handcuff. He's more than that. He does have more value. And I'm not saying if I have Cook, I want to get Murray, because you probably don't want to play them both, and I don't like wasting a roster spot. But I wouldn't mind grabbing Murray at some point in round 12, round 13, hoping that he is that goal line back, because that's what you need him for. If he's not that, once again, as Cook gets going here and proves that he is over the knee injury, I don't know what kind of value you're going to have in Murray that you're going to feel trusting him outside of a bye week filler.
And look, if you're a zero RB guy, if you want to try that strategy in your draft, you're going to be looking at the two guys that we've highlighted so far this show, Chris Carson and Latavius Murray. You get them a little bit later, although Carson's ADP is skyrocketing right now. But you can draft your wide receivers early, maybe even Gronk, somebody like that, and you can piece it together with Latavius and Chris Carson. You're just going to have to be very active on the waiver wire from here on out.
Like a great pass rusher, the Roto experts will help you sack your fantasy football competition. When you register for their exclusive Edge fantasy package, you get a cheat sheet generator, plus a player database with sortable projections and rankings from the best in the business. And you can join the fantasy conversation in the 24/7 Slack chat channel. Visit rotoexperts.com to register for the exclusive Edge fantasy package and enter the promo code FNTSY and you get a 10% discount. That's the rotoexperts.com exclusive Edge fantasy football package, promo code FNTSY.
Get your season ticket to Fantasy Glory now with the 2018 Roto Experts exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package. It's not just a draft kit, it's a full season package that takes you from draft day to championship week. And it features in-depth analysis from some of your favorite fantasy sports radio experts. So go to rotoexperts.com, use code WINNER to get 10% off on the exclusive Edge package. And set aside a spot on the mantle for that 2018 championship trophy. So we've been talking about guys from the Hawks-Vikings game. Receivers, you know, Doug Baldwin obviously hasn't been out there. I'm a little nervous about week one for him. I've always been a Doug Baldwin fan. I already have shares of him in keeper leagues, so I don't know that I need to prove my love for him any further than I already have. But, you know, it's at a point where this passing offense has gone almost entirely through him these last couple of seasons. Do we see any opportunity for Wilson to spread the ball around a little bit?
To who?
I don't know.
I mean, really, to who? That's the problem there. I mean,
Brandon Marshall had 3 for 34 last night. I can't believe he's still playing football.
Yeah, I guess first, you know, insert your joke there. Surprise, he's really still around. But that's the thing when I look at this team. I mean, who's the ball going to there? You think Marshall's going to be anywhere near the Marshall he used to be? I mean, even forget that. How about 75% of what he used to be? You know, I don't know if I could see that. So I didn't understand what Seattle did. You know, Pete Carroll's a smart head coach. They have a good GM. Yet, you know, you draft Rashard Penny in the first round. Running backs in this day and age, you could find them later. Teams are proving that over and over again. And it's like this guy was a huge talent where he had, you know, where like Saquon Barkley slipped over to 28, whatever they were picking. You know, it wasn't that. You needed an offensive lineman. I would have gone Will Hernandez. But you also needed receivers, you know, or someone. You can't keep asking Russell Wilson to do everything by himself, which is what they're really asking him to do once again. Go back there, run around for a long time until somebody gets open. You know, you lost Jimmy Graham. So what's your top tight end is Ed Dixon, who's still on NFI. You know, Nick Vinette is actually a top tight end right now. Yeah, good luck with that. You know how that works out for you. Doug Baldwin. Okay, Doug's great. Assuming he's healthy, he'll be fine. But after that, Marshall, Jerron Brown, Tyler Lockett, David Moore, Amara Darbo, the guy, the draft pick from last year. Good luck. Good luck. I got to tell you, Mike, I am just shocked they haven't helped out Russell Wilson more.
Yeah, it's almost like it mirrors in some ways. And the defense has been ripped apart at the same time. You know, it's not like they've just been they have a lot of young guys on defense. So I can't say that they have ignored. They obviously haven't ignored both sides of the ball. But you see a lot of young guys on defense backfilling some of the stars of yesteryear. And then Earl Thomas is obviously that whole situation is ugly, too. But they pieced together the offensive line. They have obviously Ethan Postich, who's now going to be at guard. Justin Britt is a capable center. And they obviously traded for Dwayne Brown last year. So the offensive line is better than it was a year ago. But to George's point, like, it's not that much of an area of strength. They're rolling with DJ Fluker and Jermaine Ifedi, a first-round draft pick from a few years ago, is now playing right tackle because he couldn't handle any other positions. DJ Fluker's on his third team, I think, in three seasons, maybe in four seasons. But nonetheless, he's a journeyman, former first-round pick, but a journeyman at this point. and they're just asking Russell to put it together with Jerron Brown and Tyler Lockett. I mean, Jerron Brown is kind of an interesting value for me. Maybe add some explosivity to the attack, but he's never going to be an 80-catch guy. You know, he's a home run hitter, and he's got some speed, but you know, that is a tough depth chart, especially when Baldwin isn't sitting at the top of it currently. So it has me look, Russell Wilson, what he's been able to do is a hard thing to explain, even George, that he's been able to stay healthy and be this productive despite the offense kind of falling apart around him. So for me to expect him to be healthy again, I'm almost just waiting for him to get hurt, but he never seems to. He's kind of an amazing player in that regard.
Oh, I agree with you. I'm waiting for the injury to as well. Yeah, he's not built like Big Ben or Cam, for that matter, where they you could see how he could take the punishment. He's a smaller guy. I mean, not small, but smaller than those guys. And you are waiting for that injury to happen one day. Yeah, they ask him, literally, they ask him to run. Listen, go back there and, you know, draw plays up in the dirt, run around till somebody gets open. That seems like what they do sometimes. And it's kind of silly here. Now you
mentioned, when he rolled his ankle last year, I was sure he was going to be out, and he just played. It was amazing.
Yeah, he has some damn good healing capabilities. In the year before that, we had the knee problems, and he still came pretty much played through those. So, and they need that because you said their defense is nowhere near what it used to be. Matter of fact, it's probably average to below average outside of Bobby. You take Bobby Wagner away, and it's bad. You know, so they have some problems there. Lord knows what's going to happen with Earl Thomas. That's a game of chicken. You know, the Seahawks are betting that he won't miss game checks. And Earl Thomas is betting that they'll trade him if he doesn't show up to camp. So, you know, I said that's a complete game of chicken there to see what happens. But it means is that Moore is going to be put on the offense. They're going to score points to stay in games. Yeah, because, and I don't think that's really fair right now because this offense is not built to do that. It's not built to control the game on the ground and keep the defense out the field. They don't have that kind of offensive line. It's certainly not built to win through the air. So what's it built for? Like I said, I think this team is pretty close to needing a rebuild.
Yeah, it's getting there. They're going to have to see how quickly these younger defensive players make an impact because you have guys like, let me pull this back up. I had the roster right here in front of me. So Jaron Reed, third-year defensive tackle, he could make some noise here. Nazaire Jones, second-year defensive tackle. Frank Clark, fourth-year defensive end. He's played some. Barkevious Mingo is their left outside linebacker right now listed, and he's on his third team in 3 years. Bobby Wagner, all-pro. K.J. Wright, really good linebacker. Shaquille Griffin was very good at corner last year. His brother Shaquem Griffin got a lot of snaps last week. I didn't see a snap count from last night yet, but he could get some time in there. But then it's Byron Maxwell. I thought Byron Maxwell was going to be out of the league, and now he's playing corner, starting corner for the Hawks. That's not good. And then they're with Brad McDougald and Cedric Thompson. Like, these names aren't jumping off the page, certainly from where they used to be. And they got a new punter now. Sebastian Janikowski is currently their kicker. So they've made a ton of changes. And I can't say that many of them are upgrades. Like, the Bears made a lot of changes, and they've made some significant upgrades. The Seahawks have made some changes, and in some instances, they are noticeable downgrades. So it's going to be tough. I don't know that Russell Wilson's always going to be in a good position this year. As much a playmaker as he is, I'm going to draft Brady over him. And I'm not likely to have the top three quarterbacks anyway, but I did have an opportunity to draft Brady over Russell Wilson and did so in the Scott Fishbowl League a few weeks ago. So let's turn the page over to a new game. Lions-Bucks. Matt Stafford, we talked about him some. I think we know what we're going to get out of Matt Stafford each and every year. But the flip side of things, Jameis Winston goes 6 of 10, 60 yards and a touchdown. That being said, you play in a 2QB league. There's other people out there that are going to play in super flex leagues. Ryan Fitzpatrick might be the least talked about starting quarterback in the entire NFL because he will start for 3 games. So we'll talk about this offense as a whole, but let's get started. Like, don't you think there's value there for Fitz and people just aren't really talking about him?
Value for Fitz. It depends on how you're going to look.
40th QB right now.
Okay, he probably should be higher than that because he's starting 3 games. So it's kind of silly. You can't really put him that low. I think the problem is this. That's it. You know, once those 3 games are done, he's done. And maybe what people are looking at is, boy, those three games, you know, they're not going to be easy. So that could be an issue. He's playing at New Orleans. That's a good defense. Philadelphia, that's a good defense. Pittsburgh on a Monday night.
Yeah.
Once again, Pittsburgh's not the greatest of defense, but still a good team.
Hey, how dare you? So,
well, sorry, I know that's breaking news to you, Mike. You know, so that's an issue there. I mean, really, you look at the schedule here. At New Orleans, Philadelphia, Pittsburgh, Chicago, at Atlanta. Even Cleveland in week 7 is not a gimme. They have a bye week in week 5. I mean, boy.
That's a really rough stretch, the first three.
1-4, 1-5 is staring at them.
I mean, yeah.
And who do you give the win? That Chicago game was at Chicago.
I mean, I'd give him that.
And that's Winston's first game back. Could be a little rusty. If I'm going to give him a win, that's the game I'm going to give him a win as well. But, man, that's not going to be fun at all.
I think they're going to be the first team in history that's going to welcome a bye week in week 5 because they might be 0-4.
Might be 0-4. Yeah, they certainly might be. And then staring at Atlanta after the bye week. Yeah, good luck to you. So they've got some problems. And by the way, I hate that they're coming off a bye week. They play a division opponent. I hate the way the NFL does bye weeks. I can go on a whole show about this. I think it's horrendous.
There's a much easier way to do it than the way they do it.
Why they just can't have all divisions have a same bye week off? You know, the NFC has this week off, and then the next week the NFC plays each other. So it's all fair. No one has the extra – I don't – whatever. That's money. I understand why, and they don't want to tie up all the divisional games in those weeks, and I get it. But still, it's kind of – it's unfair. But there's a lot of things that are unfair about the NFL. Fitzpatrick, you can get him for a song because, once again, no one's drafting him because you don't – he's only going to start three games. But if you did draft Jameis Winston earlier, I could see why you would take Fitzpatrick. But in all three of those Superflex leagues I play in, Scott Fishbowl, my two home leagues – I've got Winston in all three.
Do you really?
He's my third. Yeah, it's amazing. What's great about it, Mike, is I was able to draft him late. No one wants Winston. You know, you look at his fantasy numbers from last year, they're solid numbers. And once again, when I say he's my number three, my top two quarterbacks, he's actually my third quarterback all year long. I don't need him to start. I just was in a super flex league or a two quarterback league, you want a third quarterback. And now I have a great one as far as a third quarterback goes.
That's right.
I'll be fine.
I think that's fair.
With Winston.
Yeah.
Covering my bye weeks. Fine. I got one league. I have Wilson and Wilson, Luck, Stafford, and some other good, really good quarterback. I'll never start him on both these guys unless the matchup says I have to. But I was surprised that I was able to get him for a song. People act like he's suspended for 6-8 games. It's 3 games. And then you get him back. And you could have easily drafted Winston and Fitzpatrick and you're fine. Fine. You know, in most leagues. So I'm surprised to see where Winston's falling to. I'm talking about in two quarterback leagues, round 8. And that's getting him for a song. For a guy who's top 12, top 15 if he was playing from week 1 on. So surprised that I'm able to get him that low in those kinds of leagues. In one quarterback league, that's different. But in two quarterback or leagues in which you can start two quarterbacks, I'm surprised how low he's going.
Yeah, and Jameis, last year, he missed 3 games as well. 3,500 yards, 22 touchdowns. Is this the projections? I'm sorry. I'm trying to see which page. I'm on the wrong projections. But last year, Jameis only played 13 games as well, so you can use his numbers last year perhaps as a barometer for this year. I do think it's going to go south. Also, what's interesting is, I think it's optics for some reason with that 3-game suspension. But you compare it to a guy like Mark Ingram, who's suspended for the 4 games. Mark Ingram's going to play 1 game before week 7. 1. Because they got a bye in there, and he's got the 4 games. So basically, he's going to play week 5, I think, is when he'll come back, and then they have a bye, something like that. So I'm just saying, like, when it comes to optics, you want to talk how bad a suspension looks. That's Mark Ingram. You're going to see the guy 1 time in your lineup before week 7, and we don't even know what Sean Payton thinks of him yet. He hasn't been talked about at all.
He's hated him in the past, right? I know. I joke he's looked for any reason Payton has not to get Ingram a touchdown. I mean, they've done some weird plays at the 1-yard line rather than give it to Ingram. It's been frustrating to own him at times. But you said it. I mean, because he has the suspension, then the 1 game, then a bye week. Is he even going to play that game? You know, how much can he possibly play it coming up? You don't know what kind of shape he's going to be in, or if even Payton's going to put him in there. What if the Saints are 4-0? Are they going to feel a need to put a plug him in there? So,
yeah, realistically, what is he going to see? 10 touches max against Washington in week 5? Max.
It's just I have no problem drafting Ingram. The value is there, but I wasn't wasting any kind of draft capital on him. Once again, it's another guy you're playing the long game. So if the value is there, fine, I'll play the long game. But I didn't feel the need to. Not with his history with Peyton. I understand they had a great year last year and everything worked out, but I just wasn't going that direction, not with Ingram.
Yeah, he's the 22nd running back going off the board right now in PPR leagues, and you're just betting on him to be good by the time the playoffs come around. That's the whole thing. I've been a huge defender of Mark Ingram over the years. This is the one year where I'm finding it hard to do so. You'd really have to build your team rock solid around him if you're going to take Mark Ingram that high. You'd probably have to piece him together like a guys we've talked about this morning, like Latavius Murray and Chris Carson. You probably have to have one of those guys to fill in at least temporarily while Ingram gets back to full workload. So there you go. That's it on the quarterback situation in Tampa. But how about the running back situation in Tampa? Peyton Barber, 5 carries for 34 yards and a score. He did not catch any passes last night. Obviously, Ronald Jones, he catches the one pass for 37 yards. 6 attempts for 7 yards. I think he finished the preseason. I doubt he's going to play that much next week, if at all. But he finished the preseason, if he ends it today, with more carries than yards.
So, you know, I don't have the calculator you had, Mike, but that's generally not a good thing.
That's right. That's a tough average right there. It's below 1. So give me your thoughts quick on Barber. We'll go talk about the Lions after this, but give me your thoughts on Barber and Ronald Jones and how this might play out. I'll give you their ADPs as you're talking.
I think it's the same thing that's going on with Seattle, Carson, and Penny. It's just a different situation. Penny's hurt. Jones hasn't played well. Jones did have the big catch last night, so maybe that instills some more confidence there. If I'm drafting this weekend, I mean, A, I don't really want to eat any of these guys, all 4 of them, Carson, Penny, unless you get them late. But if I'm drafting this weekend and I need a starter, fine. It has to be Barber right now because I know he's going to start, and I expect that to last into the season. But I wonder if by the time Winston comes back, if Jones has got that job, because Barber will be paper tiger where it's just like he looks good now. Once the games count, he's not getting anywhere. We've already gone over their schedule. It's not easy, so it's maybe not be fair to him anyway. But what if in those first couple of games he has 13 rushes, 42 yards, not doing anything for each game, around his average for each game? There's nothing sexy going on there. You know, it may not be all his fault because of the competition, but then they make that switch to Jones anyway because, once again, these GMs, these coaches, they drafted these players. They're going to want to get them in there to prove that they know what they're doing. They'll get chance after chance after chance. Would rather have, in the long run, I'd rather draft Ronald Jones in round 9 than Barber in round 7.
Yeah, right now. So these ADPs, I don't think they're reflective of exactly really what's going on here, but I'm seeing Peyton Barber as the 46th running back off the board and Ronald Jones is the 27th. I think some of this ADP movement is so new with Seattle and Tampa that even what you're checking online isn't going to be reflective of what happens in your actual draft. So we'll come back a little bit more on the Lions, a little bit more on the Bucks after the break on FSD.